as we gather together in this place, that is the cry of our hearts. To say that you are a holy God is to underestimate how great you are. To say that you're worthy. Father, there's not an English word that can describe the greatness of who you are. Even to come close with a word like awesome. This morning, Father, let our hearts be purified by the blood of Christ. May our lips praise you because of your goodness to us. Father, it's by your grace through Jesus Christ that we stand not condemned, but stand forgiven. That, Lord, we have new life in Christ today. We think about just this weekend and Memorial Day. Father, yesterday as I drove by the Veterans Cemetery, I saw two older gentlemen placing flags up and down every row of every grave, remembering the men and women who fought so valiantly for our freedom. They were being remembered for their sacrifice. We say thank you, Lord, today for the men and women who paid the ultimate price for our freedom. We think of the men and women who are serving even today in different stations around the world, and we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would protect them and watch over them. God, we love you today, and we think today in memory of Jesus Christ as we prepare our hearts for communion in this service. To hear your word, we think of Christ and what he's done in the memory when he said, remember me whenever you do this. This is my body, this is my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, what a great Memorial Day this is. When we think of the freedoms that we have, not just in this great country, but freedom in Christ. Lord, we love you today. We pray for those who are sick. We ask, God, that your touch would be upon the body. We know, God, we live in this world, and we just ask for miracles, that you would raise those up that have been seeking you, that they would find strength in their bodies. They would be able to rise up and to serve you. Lord God, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives, and we pray for this great nation of ours. We pray for this community. We ask, Lord, in this area, that for the men and women who seek to work, that you would bless their hands, that they're diligent, and you would reward those who work faithfully. Lord, bring revival to our community. Pour out your Spirit in this place. And across this great area, Lord, would we see the hand of God moving and hearts turn to you. We pray for salvation in our homes, in our families. God, we thank you and we love you. We give this service to you as an act of our worship in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I tell you what, if that doesn't make you feel good, to know that our young men and women do that, I wonder today as we talk about honor, I wonder how many young men or women or older men or women here have served in a branch or are currently serving. Do we have any veterans in here this morning? If you're a veteran, would you stand, please? I just want to honor you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your sacrifice for our freedom. We appreciate that. When I think about honor today in our series, www.God, if you could type in anything on the world web with God, what would it be today? Today's word is honor. When you think about the word honor, it has several different definitions. It's an award, a tangible symbol signifying approval or distinction, an award for bravery. It also can be bestowing honor or rewards upon. Today we honor our soldiers. The scout was rewarded for his courageous action. The state of being honored or respect, to show respect towards, as in honor your parents. Or accept as pay, we honor checks and drafts. Or for women, we honor their virtue or chastity. Honor is an interesting word when we honor someone. When I think about the word honor and I see what happened on that video, And I think about our young men and women. I think about July 10th, 2009. I first heard this story a few months ago. His name was Corporal Benjamin Kopp. He was from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and he was a rifleman in the United States Marine Corps. And on that day, they found themselves in a several-hour firefight. And this young man rushed into the firefight, risking his own life, and he saved six of his wounded soldiers. And then finally paid the ultimate price, and he was killed. But as he died, he did something even more remarkable. He saved another life. He never met her. She's 57 years old. And this young man, Corporal Benjamin Kopp, had signed on his card that he would donate his organs. And clear across, halfway around the world here in the United States of America, a woman found out that her name was Judy. She found out that she needed a new heart. Suddenly and without any explanation, her heart was failing. And she was going to be the recipient of this young man's heart. And I remember seeing the first time on Good Morning America, the interview of Judy Mickle. And as they were interviewing, and she said, "I just want you to know, I have the heart of a hero beating inside of my chest. A 21-year-old United States Marine. He's a hero, and his heart lives inside of me." And I thought, that's honor. Not only did he donate his heart, but when he signed that card, they say between with his bone marrow and all the other organs that he'll have the opportunity to save up to 75 lives. I think of the word honor. Would you agree with me that this morning that Corporal Benjamin Kopp from Minneapolis, Minnesota has earned the right to be honored today? Amen. When you think about the word honor, I think about that word to respect. Certainly our military men and women put themselves in harm's way. Those of you that have served in the forces, whether it's home or abroad, you put yourself out there to say, at any time that my country calls on me, I'm going to step up to the plate. I'm going to risk my life. I may not even know you, but I'm willing to give my life in harm's way for you. I may not agree politically with whoever's in office, but I'm going to sacrifice my life and obey because that's who I am. And I think that's what makes this nation so great. Not the nation itself, but the people in this nation make this a wonderful country. And I think of that word honor today. And if I were to type in the word honor, and I did, the name Benjamin Kopp came up. If I type in the word honor, another word that came up, honor your mother and your father. That's another way that we honor one another. And that's an interesting word, honor. Parents have earned it. They've sacrificed their lives, their days, their nights, their vacations, sick days, the taxi cab, the days out at the soccer pitch or at band concerts and festivals. Moms and dads have earned the right to be honored. And it's interesting that the fifth commandment in the Bible says, honor your mother and father. This is the first commandment with a promise. That's a pretty good commandment. Amen? Honor mom and dad. For some of you, your mom and dads are alive. For some of you, your moms and dads are right here. For some of you, your moms and dads have gone to be with the Lord. But you know, we can still honor them. The Bible doesn't say honor them till you're 18. I love to hear that when a teenager says, "I can't wait till I'm 18. I'm out of here. And I'm going to do whatever I want." The Bible didn't say honor your mother and father until you're 18. You know what's interesting about this? We can honor our parents today. And I think honor is a great thing. And here's how I think the greatest way that you honor your parents. Whenever you see someone behaving or acting, you know the first thing that comes to my mind is this. Their parents must have been great people, or, boy, I wonder what their parents are like. When you see kids acting and behaving, you have to ask the question. I wonder what their parents are like. So kids, when I say the word kids, whether you're 5, 15, or 50, the way that you act today honors your mother and father in their memory. Everything that you do brings honor to the name that your father passed on to you. The generations that you have, your grandfather and great-grandfather. By the way that you act and behave, you've been there before, you've seen it. You've seen kids that have walked into the mall or into a store as they open the door and they go in and you were standing right there. You were kind of hoping that they would hold that door. Maybe you've been the recipient of a young person that's honored you by holding that door. As you walk through, you say thank you. And it runs through your mind, I'll bet they have great parents. They've honored their parents in a simple gesture. That's what honor does. Or when someone walks into a room and a young person gets up and rises when that elderly person, that's honoring. I'm standing on behalf of you to honor you. Or if someone walks in, you've seen this before. Men, you've probably seen this. When a lady walks in the room and she needs a seat, that you would get up and you would give your seat. Here, go ahead, please. Take my seat. You're honoring them. And so honor your mother and your father, your parents. How about this? All rise. Hear ye, court is now in session. The honorable, right? That's what we do in court. Why do we do that? Because a judge has earned the honor. He wears a robe, and if you don't rise, you can be found in contempt of court, and you can be thrown into jail. And so we honor that. The honor, we call him your honor. Isn't that interesting? Because he's supposed to be judicious, and he's earned that right to be honored. It's interesting that two things happen there in a courtroom. All rise. Isn't that interesting? All rise. You better stand up. And then the second thing, court is now in session. Those two things really stand out to me because here it is. I believe that the church can easily become in contempt of court. Contempt of court means I'm not going to honor this judge. I'm going to talk when he talks. I'm going to not pay attention when I'm supposed to pay attention. I'm not going to rise when he walks into the room. Has the church gotten itself into a place where we have become contemptuous towards God? Isn't it true that as you came in, court is now in session? When you walked in this morning, did you think about this, that the very court of heaven is now in session? Let us rise, all rise. The honorable Jehovah God is in the house. I think there's a point where when we come into church, we ought to honor God. We ought to rise to the occasion. I think it's incredible that the Bible says in the Psalms, we sing it. And I know, Deb, it's one of your songs that you love. When you've led worship, I've heard it before. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His court. How? I will enter it with praise. Let's rise with praise. Amen. We ought to enter into the court of God with praise in our mouth because He is worthy. I think God has earned it. This morning when we talk about honor, I want to make sure that we don't find ourselves in contempt of God. It is so easy to be without honor. The first story this morning that we took a look at is a story where Jesus comes home. He's been out on the road. He's working. You've been out on the road before. You come home. He's been doing miracles. He's been preaching. Stories about Him are spreading faster than wildfire. And could you imagine the stories that are coming back about Jesus? And He comes home. He comes home to Nazareth. And there's His brothers and His sisters. There's His cousins, His classmates that He's grown up with, His mom. And Jesus comes home, and they've heard all these stories. And they're looking at this guy. Could you see him walking through the door? Hey, I'm home. And they're all sitting there going, You're home. Big whoop. That's what it says. That's in Greek, big whoop. That's whoopatai for those of you that are scholars. Look what the Scripture says. It says, coming to His hometown, He began teaching. He walks into church on a Sunday morning. They showed up in the synagogue like they had done before. And they start saying this, Where do you get off talking like this? Look at what it says. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Isn't this... Now look at what they're doing. The carpenter's son. Aren't his brothers right here? I mean, there's James. There's Judas. His sisters are sitting here. Who does this guy think he is? And you know what they did? They made him commonplace, familiar. You know the danger of contempt is this? The familiarity with something? You know, in a home, it's amazing to me how kids will treat their parents. They will not treat their teachers that way. They will not treat their friends. They will not treat their friends' parents that way. Let me try this as a little test. Have you ever had your friends or neighbors, your kids have gone over to their house and they come and they go, your kids are just the most wonderful kids in the world. And you responded like this, what? Okay, then you know what I'm talking about. And you thought, why can't you do this at home? And they go, I don't know. Here's why they don't. It's right here in this scripture. Because a prophet is without honor in his own home. Because we become so familiar. Now let me meddle a little bit further for those of you that are married here today. Here it is. When you're married for a time, you start becoming so familiar with one another that you begin speaking and sometimes acting in ways impatiently and using words or sometimes saying things that you wouldn't have said if you were dating because they would have left you. I'm meddling now. Why do we become so comfortable and we almost become contemptuous in our marriage? And you think about this. How hard you worked before, but how comfortable we got now. And that's what's happening here. In fact, it's just like, oh, that's just my wife. Or that's just my husband. Oh, that's just my mom and dad. They're kind of old-fashioned. Or they're this. And that's just what they're doing to Jesus. They look at Jesus and they're trying to bring Him down to a very common place. And can I tell you, Jesus is not to be common in our lives. He's supposed to be the most amazing thing. He's supposed to not be so familiar in the sense that we become contemptuous and go, oh, it's just Jesus. Here it is. Watch this. Are you going to church today? Oh, it's just church. It's just, God help us if we go to church and say, it's just church. We ought to come to a place in our lives where when we walk into the courtroom of God, when we walk into the outer circle, and God invites us, come on into the Holy of Holies. I've rent the temple. The curtain is torn. Step on into the glorious wonder. You can come before the throne of God. And we in wonder stand in awe. All rise before the King of Kings. Let's not come into a place where I've gotten so comfortable. It's like, I'm in church again. I wonder what's going on. What's in the bulletin today? Let us prepare our hearts because He's about to enter in. The Bible says where two or three gather in His name. He is right there in the midst of them. Today, Jesus Christ stands among you. How awesome is that? How wonderful that we have the privilege. We have gathered together today to worship the very glorious God who spoke and stars went into place. He knows you by name. He numbers the hairs on your head. He cares for you. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and die 33 years on this earth, but to bring hope and raise Him from the dead. You have a glorious riches in Christ Jesus, and He will raise you up to heaven. He's prepared a place for you in glory. It's streets of gold. It's a mansion in heaven. And why would I not rise to the occasion? All rise. Court is now in session. Have we become so familiar with church that it becomes, dare I say, boring? Have we become so familiar with Jesus Christ that His presence daily with me at my workplace, in my home, that I don't speak well of Him or of anything else? Should I not come into the place where I either rise to the occasion or we bow down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus? He is worthy. And Jesus came home, and they looked at Him and they said, you're just the carpenter's son. He is not just a carpenter's son. Josh McDowell, in his book, More Than a Carpenter, says, this isn't just a guy woodworking in your life. This is a Savior who has come from heaven, Jesus the Messiah. Let us not become so familiar. We've got to change our thinking. Their thinking is this, He's just Jesus. Can I tell you, He's not just Jesus this morning. Let us change our thinking. He is the one who wants to be involved in every part of your life. He's the one that wants you to know how desperately He loved you. He wants you to rise to the occasion. And here it is. They lost the miracle because of the familiar. It says, and he did not do many miracles because of their lack of faith. In fact, if you read one of the other Gospels, the parallel, what the Apostle John writes in chapter 12, he said, he only did a few. His disciples said, man, he came home. Could you imagine? Our brother's the Messiah. He's coming home. Oh man, do we want to have some miracles? Oh, do we believe? He's coming home. Let's prepare everything. Kill the fatted calf. Blow the trumpets. Jesus is coming home. No. Oh, it's you, brother. What are you doing here? And who do you think you are? They're thinking was not of a Messiah, it was a carpenter's son. How familiar, how easy it is to be caught up into the world that says, oh, you guys have your religion, keep your religion on your Sunday mornings. Can I tell you, Jesus wants to get out of the box and He wants to get into our lives and He wants to do great and mighty things. Don't lose the miracle because of the familiar. Amen? It's easy to get familiar. You know how easy it is to get into the drone of life? It is so easy to have your thought life, it's just Jesus. In fact, I think this is what happens. Those who have grown up in church get so familiar with Jesus that they miss it. You ever notice that? Let me do a test with you. Can we do a participation test this morning? Can you help me out? I'll show you how easy, it's so easy to get into this mindset. In fact, the Bible says, whatsoever a man thinketh, He is. Your thoughts are so important here. The way you think about Jesus, look what happened here. Miracles weren't happening in their lives because they didn't think right. So let me just try a little test and show you. I believe the world, the devil wants to get you into a thought process that doesn't have you focused on Christ the Messiah. They want you to think of Christ the religion. Oh, it's just something I do. Rather than it's a way of life. It's a way of thinking. Help me out here. I'm going to ask you this. I'm just going to find out how easy it is to influence your life and to influence your thinking. I want you to spell a word for me. It's real simple. Just follow along. Everybody participate. Say this out loud with me. If we do it together, it's going to make it real simple. Spell the word pork. Now, I'd like you to say pork three times. Pork. What do you eat soup with? How many of you said fork? Yeah, I heard fork almost all the way across. Yeah, you're not going to get a lot of soup on that fork, okay? Just in 5 seconds. Now, you know what's happening. I just simply tried to influence your mind. I simply just, in just a power of suggestion, just in 1 second, got you to start eating your soup with a fork, okay? And some of you are going to get real hungry doing that. I'm going to try it one more time. Now you're mentally ready. Shouldn't be a problem. Ready? We'll just do this one more time. Spell the word spot. Now say spot three times. What do you do when you come to a green light? Wow. You were ready for it. And you still stopped at the green light. She really does. Oh, no. I'm hearing, now a few of you said go, which I appreciate. Listen, when I'm driving, I do appreciate at the green light, you do go. Some of you stop. It was just a silly test, wasn't it? It was simply a small test. That's all that was. I was just trying to find out if I could influence you in just a few seconds. And in just a few seconds, I did influence you, most of you, which is surprising. Because the second time, I told you it was coming, and you still did. It's amazing to me that in the Bible, when James says, it's just my brother, and the crowds and the Pharisees said, it's just Jesus, how many people in their mind just said, it's just Jesus. I came looking for a miracle, and just Jesus walked through the door. And it says, not many miracles happened. How many of you have missed the blessings that God has in your life because just Jesus walked in the door? I don't want a simple carpenter's son. I want the Son of God. No wonder why John in his gospel, from John chapter 1 all the way through the end, calls him, he is the Son of God. And he emphasizes that over and over. You see, my Savior is not just a carpenter's son. He is the Messiah, the HaMashiach, Mashiach. He is the Savior of my soul. He's my Messiah. See, I want us to understand, he walked into town. Watch this. Here's the correlation. They didn't honor him. A prophet is without honor. And he did not do miracles for them. Honor must bring miracles. And so when I rise in his presence or bow before him, God can work in that faith because I recognize who he is. And when you bring honor in someone's life, can I tell you, blessings come from that. It can be with your mom and dad. It can be with the soldiers. This Saturday, June 5th out here, we're going to honor our police, our military, our fire, our rescue. I invite you out. I invite you to come and honor them, to come and pay the respect for these men and women who put their life on the lines every day for us, right here in our own community. We're going to get to do that this weekend. We get to every Sunday gather together as a church and worship and honor God. Well, that's the story. That's the story of without honor. Then if you turn over, we get to hear a story of honor. You know what's amazing to me is when you grow up in church, it's so easy to miss out on who Jesus is. They say pastors' kids are the most rebellious kids in church. Do you know why? Because ever since they were a kid, they've been hearing these stories, one after the other. And sometimes it becomes so familiar, it's like a marriage that just seems to kind of relax. And they forget. You know who the most exciting people are in church? Brand new Christians. You ever see a new Christian in church? They are. They're like a grown-up baby. You see them, they don't care. They don't even know what to do sometimes. They see something going on and their hands go up, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And someone goes over and says, shh, you don't do that in church, you know. You don't want to interrupt anything. Or they're running around or they might say something or right in the middle. I know new people and they come to church sometimes, they start talking right back to me from the audience. And I'm going, it's a sermon. You're not supposed to do that. But they get so excited. They don't know. And they just get excited about the Lord because you know why? He's changed me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Have those words become so familiar that we forget that we were a wretch? Have we forgotten that God saved us from an eternity separated from Him forever? Have we forgotten the redemption of Christ? Is it only at Easter that we say, He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today, He walks with me, He talks with me along life's narrow way? Have we forgotten? It's Memorial Day weekend. Let's not forget. A woman walks into a house and there's Jesus with his disciples. They've been with him for almost 3 years. The total ministry that they had was about 3 years. Somewhere in that ministry, a woman walks in. We believe through history that she's a prostitute. She walks in, but God had transformed her life through Christ. He had met her along the way. She had received Him as Savior. She'd probably been baptized in the River Jordan or somewhere along the Galilee sea line. And as she comes into the house, they're all reclining. She walks in and she takes an alabaster jar and she walks over to Him and she honors Him. She falls down on her knees and she breaks that alabaster jar. And then she begins to pour it over His body. And He was probably reclining, as was the custom. It flowed over His hair and down His beard. It flowed down over His clothes. And finally over His feet. She poured it over His feet. And she began taking her hair, the Bible says. She got down on her hands and her knees to get her hair down to His feet. And she began to wipe His feet with her hair. Are you kidding me? That has got to be the most undignified thing. What is this woman doing? Jesus, do you know who this woman is? What's going on? And the Bible says that they looked at her and they said, what have you done? That perfume could have been used. It's 1 year's wage. What? You just threw $40,000 down the drain. And Jesus looked and said, no. Basically, to interpret, this woman has honored me. What she has done will be told forever. Honor. That woman came in and the first thing she could think of was, this is Jesus. He's changed my life. What can I do for Him? And she falls down and she pays Him respect and honor. And she says, the only thing I have, the only thing this woman has is this alabaster jar of perfume. And she's had to have been saving it for a long time. It's a year's worth of wages. And she takes that. Could you imagine emptying your bank account and going to Jesus and saying, here you go. Here's a year's wages just for you, Jesus. What are you thinking? Is the reaction. The only thing she was thinking is, hear ye, court is now in session. All rise. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who has changed my life, is reclining. And I am going to honor Him with everything I have. Have we come to the place where we honor Him, or have we come to the place where we have contempt? This morning, when we think about honor, I think about communion. To honor the Lord, He said, do this in remembrance of me. I'm going to invite Mike to come up and to play a little something, and Ron's going to, well, is Ron? We're going to have communion right now. And we're going to have communion by intinction. And so as we do that, what that means is if you've taken Christ as your Savior, you're invited to come up and have communion with us. The Bible says that Jesus took that cup and that bread, and on the night that He was betrayed, He took it, He drank the cup, and He broke the bread, and said, this is My body and this is My blood. Every time you do this, you remember Me. What do we remember? That He is worthy. He saved me. Today, if you're a Christian, we have open communion. You're welcome to come and join us. Intinction means you'll take the bread, you'll dip it in the cup, and then you'll take it. And we're going to invite you to come towards the center in just a moment as I pray, and then make your way back around. But communion is open to everyone whose heart has said, Jesus, You are my Savior. I believe I've received Your salvation. And today I do this to remember You. If there's anything in your heart right now, I'd like you to just go ahead and bow your heads and to pray. The Bible says if there's anything unfinished business, any sin that might hinder you, to confess that. Right now you can just ask God to cleanse that heart. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It goes on in Isaiah, the prophet says, though your sins were as red as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. That's the blood. He's not just a carpenter. He's the Messiah. We invite you this morning to come and to take communion. Father, we consecrate this to You, the bread and the cup. And we do this morning to remember the sacrifice and who You are. And we honor You today. In Jesus' name. Come and receive communion.
At the cross, we thank You for Your Son, and we stand at the cross. To worship.
this morning. We've had the privilege of being in court. There's a song that says, better is one day in your house than thousands elsewhere. The court was the outer circle around the tent or the tabernacle, the holy place. And that's where the common folks got to go. The priest got to go inside, and only the high priest got to go in beyond that to the Holy of Holies. We've been invited to court today to worship the King. Good news, folks, you just shared communion. You've been invited to the Holy of Holies, to the presence of God. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, let us therefore enter into the throne with boldness and confidence, because we have a great high priest, the advocate, Jesus Christ, who has gone on before us. Today, you guys have boldness and confidence through Christ Jesus. Let's stand together and receive the benediction. It is my prayer that you will live a life of honor. When you think about honor and all the things that means, maybe today a little bit more, you'll hold the door for someone. You'll rise in respect for others. But most of all, you'll recognize those who have sacrificed, our men and women who serve, and then finally Jesus Christ, who gave the ultimate sacrifice. What a great day to honor. I hope you remember that when you see flags waving tomorrow. You also remember the cross on Memorial Day. Father, we go from this place to live a life of honor. And through that honor, may we see the miracle hand of God moving. Because we do lift and exalt you. We rise to the occasion. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.